Good morning. Greetings. I'm glad to see you here. And if you're watching on social media, you are our guests. We welcome you. We want to thank Mary Lou Miller, who's playing the organ today. Our regular organist is out of town. I invite you to keep your eyes open, both on the internet and in through the mail. Lifelong Learning at Walford will return before too long, so be watching for that. Today at 5 o'clock, the Board of Trustees will meet in the upper room Sunday school classroom. Central Park Work Day. John wants to tell us something about it.
Got one that came in the email, and Tom just made the announcement. This coming Saturday, we're going to have a work day in the park. We need as many people as we can get. We'll do some tidying up, picking up trash, getting rid of some weeds that have come up and some small trees, spreading a little mulch, and hopefully spreading some pine straw. If you can come, the kind of tools we need are wheelbarrows, rakes. We could use a weed eater, some pruning shears, both the hand type and the lopper type. If you got any questions, call me. If I don't hear from you, I'm going to count on seeing you this coming Saturday at 9 o'clock, and we'll stop by noon.
All right, Saturday morning. I'll invite you to, just before we pray together in a few minutes, look at I think it's the back page of the bulletin. You will see our concerns. Quite a number of people there who've had surgery, were sick, but thankfully are on the mend. Tuesday, I'm gonna go out of town for a week. Feel free to email me, call me, what have you. Hear these words of King David. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Say to other people, the Lord is King. Break forth into joyous song. Thank you.
us pray. Author of life, you have given us breath to praise you, eyes to behold your mercy, and words to proclaim your abiding love. You have set apart a people to worship you in thought, word, and deed, and through Christ you have numbered us in the midst of them. We sleep with the assurance that you will never forsake us, and we awaken each day to the glory of your creating goodness. Breathe upon us the promised Holy Spirit, that our minds may be open to your wisdom, and our tongues boldly declare that you alone are God. Amen. I invite you to join me now in reading responsively Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, O God of my right.
You have given me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayers.
How long, O people, shall my honor suffer shame?
How long will you love vain words and seek after lies?
But know that the Lord has set apart the righteous as God's own.
The Lord hears when I call.
But do not sin.
Commune with your own hearts and your heads, and be silent.
Offer right sacrifices.
And put your trust in the Lord.
There are many who say, oh, that we might see some good.
Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord.
You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound.
In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety.
Our joys and concerns. This time of year, we always have the joy of dogwoods and azaleas. We have joy in those who you saw on our prayer list who are healing and who are rehabbing. We thank God joyfully for all effective vaccinations. We're glad to see Sid back in church after a long absence. Concerns. We are concerned and pray for the grieving people in the Rock Hill area who had, of course, the horrible mass murders. We continue to pray for the people of the island of St. Vincent, that volcano doesn't want to stop. play for Kathy Worley, who took a great fall the other day. We pray for all pastors, superintendents, the bishop, staff parish relations committees who are involved in the Methodist appointment process. Let's pray together solemnly. O God, giver of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, help us to more deeply know Jesus in his incarnation, in his cross and death, and in his resurrection and risen power. Help us to know him, to know that he grew up as we must grow up, that he learned obedience as we have to learn, that he worked for a living as we have to work, that he was tempted as we are tempted. Help us to remember that he knew the failure of love, the malice of his enemies, the faithfulness of friends. Remember that he was the helper of all in need and the healer of the sick and the feeder of the hungry, a friend to those who had no friends, even a friend to those who were despised. Help us to know him in his death, that he loved us and gave himself for us, that he was obedient even unto death. In this Easter season, help us to know him in his resurrection, in his risen power. Help us to remember that he is alive evermore, that he is with us always, to the end of time, beyond time. So help us to know our Lord in the beauty of his life and in the power of his resurrection. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our epistle lesson comes from 1 John chapter 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but for all the sins of the whole world. Now by this we may be sure that we know him, if we obey his commandments. Whoever says, I have come to know him, but does not obey his commandments, is a liar. And in such a person the truth does not exist. But whoever obeys his word, truly in this person the love of God has reached perfection. By this we may be sure that we are in him. I invite you to stand now for the reading of the gospel. A reading from Luke 24. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, Peace be with you. They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Internet, I would say internet dating, or flesh and blood. There's a commercial that we don't see anymore, but was on TV quite a bit a few years ago. There was this very pretty woman, and she meets a man on the internet, and has an exchange of ideas, flirting. And she was waiting for this fellow who had shown her on the internet, of course, that he was handsome, he was famous, he was rich, and he was a French model. He was French. So then they show them meeting for the first time to go on a date. And he was short, fat, disheveled, hadn't shaved in about 5 days, sloppy clothes. And so they meet up like in a park, a public place, and she says hello. And in his southern accent, he says, "Bonjour." Reality is not always found on the internet or on social media. When looking for truth and love, we probably need to be more like Johnny Cash's song, "Flesh and blood needs flesh and blood, and you're the one I need." Jesus was resurrected bodily. That is very different from seeing a ghost or a glamour photo on the internet. Let's pray together. From the cowardice that dares not face new truth, from the laziness that is contented with half-truth, from the arrogance that thinks it knows all truth, good Lord, deliver us. Amen. Jim Dennis, some of you may know him. He went to Wofford, graduated in 1978, and then we met up again in 78 at Duke. But he is the district superintendent over in Greenville. He says that people will ask when he was a pastor, "What are you going to preach on?" And he said, "Well, the outline to my sermon is the same every week. Point number one, here's what I think about the verses we just read. Point number two, why you're an idiot if you don't think the same thing." This morning, I'm not going to preach like that, and I'm not trying to convince you of anything, because there is no speech or sermon that will convince you of the resurrection. But we do ask today, as we heard these verses read from John, in what way is Jesus with us now? These Easter stories show the risen Christ taking a whole series of initiatives to impress upon his disciples that he was not only dead, but that he was present with them. Now, these stories are indeed mysterious. Rudolf Bultmann has identified 4 resurrection traditions that are in the Gospels, 4 different stories. His presence is mysterious, but to them it was quite real. In some sense, it is a bodily presence, in that he shows them his hand and feet, shows them the wounds. This validates his scars. Robert Schuller, not a fellow I quote very often, said that there in the Crystal Cathedral, one Easter, a man walked down the aisle who looked just like Jesus looks in all the paintings you see of Jesus, or at least the white Jesus. And he came down and stopped, and he looked up at Bob and said, "I am Jesus." Well, he said he looked so much like Jesus, he thought there might be a chance. But he said, "You are so authentic looking, I will believe you're Jesus if you show me the scars in your hands." And of course, he walked off. Jesus, who came back and who comes to us, it's important for us to remember that This Jesus is continuous with the earthly Jesus. The resurrected Christ is earthly Jesus also. Sometimes we get so caught up in the sort of miraculous nature of the risen Christ that we forget that this person is a continuance of the Jesus who taught and healed and helped. You also need to know that this is not a resuscitation story. Jesus is not a zombie. Is Christ with us, perhaps in a bigger way than he was before? Now, there's a mention of this in this story. There's a mention of this notion that the Old Testament tells us about what was going to happen to the Christ. And one of the things I can tell you that Old Testament scholars and rabbis say, you can't do that. But here it is, it's done for you. Almost every year I bring this. They're out there on the pew with the offering plate. 100 prophecies of the Old Testament fulfilled by Jesus. So you don't have to try to remember them. You can read them. That alone is not going to make you believe that Jesus was resurrected. The most impressive fact that makes me think that of the resurrection as being authentic is the fact that one moment the apostles and disciples were in fear. Remember, they were scared to death. They didn't want anything to do with Jesus. Remember, Peter, 3 times, never heard of him. But after the resurrection, Jesus' followers become fearless. James Ellis Griffith, you all know James Ellis, and I called him yesterday to make sure I was quoting him directly, and I said, I want to quote you because the people of Central listen to you and appreciate your words. He said, that's troubling. But in one or two of the classes he's taught here, he says, the belief in the resurrection of Jesus is a key doctrine of the Christian faith. Somehow or another, Jesus was raised from the dead. But the New Testament stories and the Old Testament stories are not necessarily enough to convince us. But the scriptures are important. We hear the words in this story opened. The scriptures were opened to them. It's the same word used in the walk to Emmaus when Jesus sits down and they're going to break bread and it says their eyes were opened. This opening of the eyes is experiential. It's not something, as I said, that I can convince you of, unless you have some type of experience with the risen Christ. Resurrection is not something that just happened way back then. It's something that happens to us in our day. When we hear the scriptures read, we hear the love of God sung, and we experience something inside of us that we don't normally experience. That is Christ working within us. Imagine a couple standing up before the church and going through the service of Christian marriage, vowing to love one another. And then, immediately after the wedding, refusing to live with one another. Well, she knows how I feel about her, the absentee husband might say. But we would say to him, your feelings are not enough. There must be presence. An absentee husband is no husband at all. Love isn't love unless it becomes present to us. Now, this is so real that laws in most states and in the Roman Catholic Church say at that point, you can get an annulment for your marriage. Unless you are physically present with each other, the marriage is invalid. Our gospel this morning narrates the wonder of the risen Christ. It's not only raised from the dead, but also present with his friends and followers. How can this be? Quite frankly, I just don't know, but I believe it. As we were speaking earlier, we can have pen pals, internet pals, hundreds and dozens of phone calls or letters, but we don't know anybody until we actually are physically in the same room with them. And the reason for that has to do with integrity. You can write all about your values and your love and all kinds of things, but we don't know you until you have been present with us so that we can see that you have integrity. See that what you've written and what you've said is actually what? That you're living it out. That your walk matches your lofty talk. So Jesus took on flesh, and we believe that it is not a one-time event. We now are incarnational. God's power is in us. God reaches and loves and heals other people through us. So this incarnation resurrection is a promise that Jesus will never leave us alone. In fact, you remember his words, don't you? I will never leave nor forsake you. And Jesus sends the Holy Spirit with us. When the apostles were together and they saw Jesus, I don't think it was some form of mass, not hysteria, but a mass experience where their imaginations were so hurt that they saw the same mirage, we might say. One thing in this verse and in most of the resurrection appearances is the fact that Jesus comes to his disciples and the disciples do not come to him. They go get on a boat, start fishing. They get in a big room and lock all the doors. They're running away and he's running to them. And he touched them, the same Jesus who had touched the lepers, taught the poor, and he keeps on following his disciples, going to the disciples, as long as he stays. And this really is at the heart of our faith. Our relationship with God does not rest on how well we run after Jesus, but how Jesus comes to us and offers a relationship in which we live. God stands with us. God pursues us. So I hope that we will live our own faith in such a way that they might say, had they the vocabulary, look at that person. Look at those persons. Their faith is so real, they are an incarnation of the living God. And there's no way to explain the good that they've done and will do except that the risen Christ stands beside them. Time and again in your life, if you think about it, Jesus' promise is fulfilled when he says, I will be with you always. Quite often we find this in hindsight, but true it is nevertheless. John Wesley said these words. In fact, these were his very last words before he died. He looked at the few around him and said, "Best of all, God is with us." Let's pray together. O God, fold us in your comforting presence and bless us with courage, drench us in trust. Amen.
Thank you.